still don't know what I was waiting for. And my time was running wild.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane Matt Nair with you, along with Greg Bach. And Calvin is on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or if you're watching on the live stream, you can catch the live stream. Look for Civic Media on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. So if you're watching on the live stream, you can always leave a comment there as well. We have a very, very busy show coming up for you today. Next hour, it is Thursday, which means Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here for her public cervix announcement. And she sent me this really funny email over the weekend. She heard a song from Tony Orlando and Dawn. It's a classic.
Yeah.
That reminded her of a health condition.
Oh, I think
you're going to have to just keep it to yourself for now.
All right.
And we're going to kick that around next hour. And then Paul Noonan will be here from the Acme Packing Company. He is our sports guru, and there's all kinds of things to talk about.
Guru.
So stay close for that. But we are going to start off with, unfortunately, some breaking news out of Iowa. Federal multiple law enforcement agencies responding to a high school in Perry, Iowa, with reports of a shooting and an active gunman. It happened about 7:30 this morning at Perry High School in Iowa. Right now, we have no other information. There were reports coming in that there were multiple emergency vehicles and ambulances seen going back and forth from this high school. As soon as we find out more information, we have no details yet on injuries or deaths. But that has been some of the breaking news that happened this morning. And just a reminder, one of the founders of Moms Demand, Shannon Watts, put this on her Twitter feed this morning. A reminder, Iowa does not require a background check on all gun sales. Iowa does not require safety training. Iowa does not require permits to carry hidden, loaded guns in public. There's no red flag law in Iowa. There are no restrictions on assault weapons or magazines. Iowa also does not have a waiting period or allow local authorities to regulate guns. And these are things that one political party in Wisconsin has talked about doing here. Mm-hmm. Certainly permitless concealed carry and no expansion of universal background checks or required safety training, which I think a majority of people in Wisconsin would like to see those things in place.
It just, I mean, I can't say that Wisconsin's leading the way on gun safety laws. We have concealed carry, and the training to be concealed carry is a joke. If I've been told correctly, I mean, you don't even have to be. My friend said you don't have to be certified to give the training. You're supposed to be like 4 hours of training, but there's no checkup on that. Someone from the state is going to come to your house and be like,
Did you
get all your training? It's laughable. And I told you before the show, I once spoke to the former police chief in Racine. and I asked him, I said, what do you think of all this? What do you think of like more access to guns? He's like, I don't like it. And he's felt that if you were going to carry a firearm, you should be responsible for being tested the same way his officers were tested, which was once a year, making sure you knew everything about the weapons, making sure you knew everything about discharging the weapons, target practice, the whole thing. You should be as trained, as held to the highest regard as officers are.
Why would you not want people to make sure that every year that they get updated, just to make sure that they know how to handle this? I don't see why that's a bad thing. We can go off on, you know, infringement and
That's exactly what it is.
I know, but again, I don't see why common sense measures like this are so difficult.
Because I guess common sense is an infringement.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Apparently so. So that's where I just wanted to let you know what was happening in Iowa. Again, reports of an active gunman at Perry High School in Perry, Iowa. No other information is available at this time. And as soon as we get any, we will pass that along to you. Starting off with, it's a mess. I don't think there's any question that what's happening at the border, the southern border, is a massive problem. It is.
Always has been.
Yes. And it has been for years and years and decades and decades and decades. Now, Whitewater Police Chief Daniel Meyer has reached out to President Biden and other national and state officials asking for more money to help the city deal with an increase in immigrants from Nicaragua and Venezuela. In his letter to the president, the police chief noted that Whitewater, with a population of about 15,000, has seen 800 to 1,000 immigrants arrive since early 2022. Mm-hmm. And it is a lot for these communities to try and handle.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah. And the police chief is coming at it from I would say almost a humanitarian standpoint of like, we need help to help them, not making this a political thing, not saying we've got invasions and help us before the terrorists come. And the reason why I bring that up is because where this police chief, Police Chief Meyer, is being very thoughtful about what he's doing, making sure he can get the resources he needs to help the people who are there.
House these people
and get, I mean, like one of the things I talked about was the fact that it would hire liaisons, which creates jobs to help work with these individuals to get them what they need for resources, whether it's moving on or getting citizenship or asylum seekers or whatever. Like, these are the stories we need to hear, is about humanitarian type work versus what we hear from our federal government, which is scaremongering and just throwing out numbers. And we, yesterday, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House,
yes,
along with other,
there were 63 other Republicans
and other lawmakers from communities, sheriffs, whatnot, were all at the southern border to talk about it. And as I always like to say, the clip we're about to play, I shrunk it down a little bit, but all I took out were non-statistics and non-facts.
Not verifiable.
Not verifiable, a lot of scare tactic, a lot of fear-mongering language type of thing. You can find the full text anywhere. Just YouTube it, Google it. But Calvin, can you play that clip real quick?
The situation here and across the country is truly unconscionable. We would describe it as both heartbreaking and infuriating. And it's in less than 3 years that President Biden took office that this has happened. About an hour ago, we had lunch, and there are a number of sheriffs that work and serve here along the border of Texas. The sheriff of Terrell County was one of them. He was a former Border Patrol agent for 26 years, and he said in his estimation, it took less than 6 months for the Biden administration to dismantle 100 years of progress that the U.S. Border Patrol had achieved.
I find that hard to believe. In 6 months' time. I mean, like I said, I clipped out another 35 seconds
right.
of language that was just about trying to blame Democrats, blame Joe Biden, and also praise former President Trump as well. And this is what we do. You know, you have a police chief like Meyer who's trying to help people.
Yes.
And you have people like Mike Johnson who's just trying to inflame the base.
And fearmonger.
And fearmonger.
When President Biden got back to Washington late on Tuesday, he put the onus on the Republicans to agree to bipartisan measures to fund immigration operations. And there have been efforts to increase the number of border agents, mm-hmm. to increase the number of lawyers and judges who have to hear these cases because of the way our current system is set up.
Anything needs to be done. It needs to be our immigration courts need to be expanded.
Absolutely.
Need to be fully staffed so people can, you know, whether they can stay or whether they have to go. And that's another conversation. The court system, the immigration court system it's torture.
Yeah, and it's so backed up.
Yeah.
It's so backed up.
And that leads me to my next point, which is that's what they do in Washington with this situation. It's a political hot potato. They go back and forth. They blame. And we have another clip from Maya Ward, who is a Politico White House correspondent, talking about her response to Speaker Johnson's press conference. Play that clip, Kelvin, please.
I think the other thing that you already noted, this quote, you know, disaster, it's a disaster of the president's own design. And the reality is this is an issue that both parties have failed to solve. And it speaks to just how political the issue of immigration has become. And it's pretty easy to see how the White House is going to respond here. They're going to say, well, if you feel this way, pass the president's, you know, supplemental funding request. It included $13.6 billion for the border. And it just left me wondering, what does this mean for a border deal? I mean, when you hear Johnson's speech today, Is there any deal that those Senate negotiators could present that is going to appease House Republicans?
And that's the question. You know, if it's coming from the Biden White House, if it's coming from Senate or congressional Democrats, will they accept it? Most likely not. Most
probably not.
And that can be said by the other side. We know of situations where Democrats have purposely said no to things Republicans have proposed because you can't give each other a win. Meanwhile, Police Chief Meyer needs help.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say?
Good morning. This is a totally fabricated issue. It started out in 2015. Actually, it goes back farther than that. But the most incendiary stuff started in 2015. Oh, they're bringing millions over the border. They're going to replace us. And then illegals, they're going to take our jobs away. So we got to put up and entirely close the border, which is exactly what they're proposing right now, by the way. Now, in 2016 to 2018, the Republicans had total control over this issue. They could have done something real about it. And without any help from the Democrats, they could have imposed their own particular solution to it, and they did nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're talking about impeaching Mayorkas. And again, this is the Republican of this whole thing. Cut back, cut back, cut back. Oh, that agency of government doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work because there's no money.
Because you don't fund it. Yeah. We're just about out of time, Jack, so thank you very much. If you want to chime in on this, 844-967-2789. We will come back with a couple of texts. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Yes, second day. On the Civic Media Radio Network. Face the strange changes. Ooh, look out, you rock and rollers. Ch-ch-ch-ch-changes. Turn and face the strange.
Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just wanna lay in my bed.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair with you along with Greg Bach. And Calvin is on the board coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Good morning, Hayward. I'm sure it's chilly up there. It's chilly down here. Nice to see the sunshine, though, so I hope everybody's having a good day. We were just talking about what's going on at the southern border. Speaker Mike Johnson making statements, blaming, of course, putting the entirety of the blame on the Biden administration. And we're just talking about the fact that this has been used, immigration has been used as a political football for decades. Just for
absolutely,
decades.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Jack is not incorrect that there was a lot of misinformation happening, especially during the Obama administration regarding this matter. But the border has been a political football forever.
Let's just keep blaming each other and do nothing so we can use it against each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's becoming tiresome because to pushing it back and forth just means they don't have to work on it then, because they say, we did this, but they don't like it. Well, we did this and they don't like it. Well, do something together because you all look stupid.
844-967-2789. You can call and or text or leave a comment on the live stream. Andrew from Maine checking in. Isn't Mr. Johnson a lawyer? Or at least half of those who are at the border must be lawyers. They should probably take a couple of cases and just help out there while they're in the area.
Well, yeah. And that also brings up another thing that we discussed before we went on air. What did Mike Johnson say before, just as he took office as speaker? Someone asked, what do you believe? He said, pick up the Bible. That's what I believe. I don't think there's a story of Jesus going to any border and saying, this is a disaster. Don't let them in. They're terrorists. No, he didn't. So Next discussion point, please.
So far, I got another text from Andrew. So far, I have yet to see a plan from Mr. Johnson and the MAGA rhinos, just complaints that no one is meeting their demands, much like Tommy Tuberville's Senate blockade, where he refused to contribute to meeting his demands. Actual Republicans want to govern. MAGA Republicans in name only are only interested in making sure nothing works.
Yep. I mean, I'd say that you don't have to just be a rhino or a dino to not want to make things work, but that's about the same. That's about right.
844-967-2789. Stephen from Green Bay. Good morning, Stephen. How you doing? Thanks for joining the show.
Good morning. I'm actually currently driving myself to the eye doctor because my wife got me in the eye with her diamond ring. But that's a different story.
Well, then.
I just find this ridiculous, that Republicans want to talk about the border, but yet we're 4 days into the new year and we already have a mass shooting in Iowa. I know that's breaking news, but we already do.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you kidding me? You're worried about illegal aliens coming over the border. We have problems in our own country with people shooting other people. This is ridiculous. You want to point fingers at the Biden administration for something that's been going on for literally ever. You know, there's been Republicans in office, in power, and the border has been an issue. But miraculously, we don't hear about it until there's a Democrat sitting in the White House. And they don't want to talk about the glaring issue of gun violence in this country. Instead, they're like, oh, no, we don't need any regulations at all. Just keep giving them guns.
Mm-hmm. More guns make us safer, Stephen. More guns make us safer.
Yeah. Arm the teachers. Arm the dogs. Arm the kids. And, arm all.
Yeah. It is immensely frustrating.
Yeah.
It is immensely frustrating. Another texter. Thank you, Stephen, for calling. I hope your eye is okay.
Yeah.
From the 262, Trump and his boy Bannon grifted their gullible supporters with their fake fund the wall fund and did absolutely nothing. And I think that's a really important reminder that people tend to forget about Mr. Steve Bannon and the fleecing he and his buddy did of Trump supporters, mm-hmm. and then spent millions of their donations, which were supposed to go to fund the wall, spent millions of donations on yachts and lifestyle and wonderful things. And who did Donald Trump pardon? Steve Bannon.
Amongst many others.
Amongst many, many others. People who were fleecing his own supporters.
And I get what you're saying, Stephen, and I don't disagree that, you're right. We were 4 days in, and I'm sure it probably wasn't the first shooting on the fourth day of the year, but I venture to say that Congress is big enough, smart enough, and well-funded enough where they could handle two things.
At once?
At once. So why not? Let's take a look at that southern border. Let's take a look at the immigration. Let's take a look at those. And then also, after lunch, let's have a talk about guns. I mean,
you have very high expectations.
I do. I do. I'm only asking them to work 3 to 4 hours a day.
Greg.
I'm sorry.
They have donor lunches to go to. They don't have time to actually govern. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, because the news is coming up in just a little bit, we're going to look at what the 118th Congress actually accomplished.
Yes.
It's really something.
What it's common with? Maybe a favorite pastry. You'll see when we come back.
Okay.
I'll reveal the answer when we come back.
Oh, well, now you're going to have to hang on.
Yeah, appointment radio, friends. Who shot JR and what is Greg's joke about? We'll see if either one are funny.
Oh, good. Coming up after 11 o'clock, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here for our public cervix announcement, as she is every Thursday. And very seriously, if you ever have a health-related question or something that you're curious about, she is a font of knowledge, and it's really educational, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, she makes learning fun.
She absolutely does. Also, Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here at 11:30. He is our sports guru, and we'll be checking in, talking about the Packers, what their chances are, how things are looking.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
I mean,
we shall see.
You never know. Stranger things have happened.
It's true. And a 2. If you ever want to check in and join the show, you can call and or text at 844-967-2789 or 844-96-PARTY. That is what you want.
You can also download the app and text us from the app.
It's a wonderful
app. There's so many things. We could spend a whole segment just talking about all the ways to talk to us. I mean, find me on the street and just stop me. Be polite, but we'll talk.
Absolutely. And you can leave a comment on the live stream, too. We are live streaming on the Civic Media channels on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. All right. Stay right here. This is almost.
Oh.
Almost.
I told you yesterday, I had like 4 chances in my head. I would have said it.
I almost blew it. This is Matt Nair on Air. That's what it is.
It is.
On the Civic Media Radio Network.
I just wanna lay in my bed. Don't feel like picking up my phone, so leave a message at the tone. 'Cause today I swear I'm not doing anything. No, I ain't gonna comb my hair, 'cause I ain't going anywhere. No, 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 no.
So happy to have you along. Jane Matinair, along with Greg Buck and Calvin, is on the board coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or, oh, a little reserved party.
Yeah.
Or you can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching us on the Civic Media page on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. I wanted to give you a little bit of an update. We did tragically have to start off the hour with breaking news from Iowa, a school shooting at Perry High School in Perry, Iowa. Now, according to the ABC News, at least one person is dead, others injured in that shooting. The scene is now secure. 2 patients being treated at a local hospital. Their conditions are unknown. The active gunman incident reported a little after 7:30 this morning. An officer responded, got there 7 minutes later, located multiple gunshot victims. Although, again, we do not know how many, and we do not know the extent of their injuries, but we will keep you posted as the morning goes on, day 4 of 2024, and tragically our first school shooting of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking a little bit earlier about what's going on at the southern border and why we can't seem to get anything done as far as coming to an agreement on how to handle what has been a decades-long problem along our southern border. And John from Menomonee Falls texted in, Greg, you give them way too much credit thinking they can do 2 things at once. They can't handle doing 1 thing at once. They haven't even approved a budget yet for this year.
Listen, a boy can dream.
You gotta have dreams.
And my dreams are of a low bar. And I believe
you have faith in them.
I have faith that they can get 2 things done in a day.
That's so and hopeful of you.
And here's the thing is, if they can't, I think we should pay them on a per subject basis. They work on 1
like
thing.
Like piece work.
Yeah. Like, or they only work 3 hours of the day in the Capitol. All right. That's 6 hours, 5 hours. They don't get paid because that's let the campaign pay them. I'm not paying you to make phone calls for your campaign. So let's work out a new payment system, a new salary system.
Oh, I think that's a great idea. Yeah, we'll spend some time on that. Well, speaking of getting things done, according to data analytics firm Quorum, The 118th Congress is currently on track to be one of the least productive in modern history. What an accomplishment. Calvin, let's hear it for the members of the 118th Congress. That you have to, you got to shoot for that.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't just happen.
No, you got to want it.
You got to want it. You got to work for it.
You got to, and just like my favorite breakfast pastry, a donut, zero. See what I did there?
I did.
I took you along for that ride. It was fun.
Sure.
But I want to just give it. I mean, seriously, you're inspiring the kids. You are, you know, using those untruths and the fighting to really get out of just helping anyone, and that takes a lot of guts.
So, an overview: just 20 bills have been passed by both chambers and signed into law this year. Another four are currently awaiting President Biden's signature. This is far below even historically unproductive first years. So again, they're setting records.
Yeah.
We gotta give them credit for something. 2023.
So you're telling them you want me to give them participation award?
Everyone gets a ribbon.
Everyone
gets a ribbon. 2023 also marking the low point in a years-long trend toward gridlock. Five of the six most unproductive first years have been since 2011.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing we've been talking about for this almost this entire century so far, is every year seems to be the least productive Congress. And the following year is like, hold my beer. Yeah. We got you taken care of.
We got this.
Does lunch count? Because I won't even do lunch then.
And another thing to keep in mind, and this is from an Axios article, of the 20 whole bills, well done, kids.
Yep.
Of the 20 that they passed, the vast majority either passed by unanimous consent or with minimal opposition, including multiple measures to rename Veterans Affairs clinics and another to mint a coin commemorating the 250th anniversary of the Marine Corps. So it's not like they did nothing.
Yeah, I mean, guys, and ladies, everyone, this is a team effort.
Yes,
A for effort.
When you compare it to the 117th Congress, in which Democrats controlled both chambers and the White House, they did actually pass several pieces of marquee legislation.
Yeah,
including the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act.
Those two were good.
Those were good.
Those were kick butt, as the kids say. Calvin, that's what the kids say. Kick butt, right? That's what the kids say.
As our
resident young person, it kicks buns.
Well, and now that you say that, it's interesting. Speaking of getting things done.
Yeah.
President Biden's American Rescue Plan, about 3 years after it was signed into law, has prompted our country's three major insulin makers to drop their prices. As of January 1st, Eli Lilly, Sanofi, and Novo Nordisk, who make up roughly 90% of the insulin market, they are now all officially offering price caps and saving programs to lower the cost of some of their most widely used insulin products to $35 a month. That is not a small thing.
I'm not kidding you. Like, when I read that, I almost started to cry. Because to me, I think of... thank you, President Biden, and thank you for everyone who worked on and supported it, whether regardless of what side of the aisle you are on. But I just think about all those people who are going to be able to afford it and they're going to be okay. Like,
can you imagine having to choose between your insulin and food?
No, I have never.
Your insulin and your rent?
I have never in my life had to pick between one necessity or another. That's how privileged I am, and I recognize that, and I'm lucky. That's why I think about those individuals, because they have had to do that, and now it's just maybe one less thing on their plate.
One less thing to worry about.
I mean,
exactly. In Wisconsin, 8.8% of the adult population has diagnosed diabetes, including tens of thousands of people who rely on insulin.
Yeah.
So if this has affected you, we would love to hear from you at 844-967-2789. This is not an uncommon condition, and it certainly is not an uncommon medication. And from what I understand, the original creator of insulin never intended this to become this enormous moneymaker.
No.
That was not the intention.
No, it was to help people.
So the part of the American Rescue Plan actually threatened to penalize the companies if they kept the prices high. The law reformed the rules guiding Medicaid health insurance to remove a cap on the penalty that drug companies pay for listing prices above the rate of inflation. So some things got done.
Some things are getting done. I mean, and I believe this is part of the infrastructure. Of course it is, because it's trains. It's, you know, thank you to Tammy Baldwin for putting forth the money for the study to bring a train to Wisconsin.
Yes.
I mean, granted, could we use more commuter rail? Could we use better buses? Absolutely. But this is a step in the right direction. And I don't want to give credit to anyone overly, because that just seems like you're, I don't know.
Well, isn't that just doing your job?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like,
right?
Like,
you're
thank
actually
you.
Accomplishing something. Thank you for doing your job.
Yeah, exactly.
President Biden also issued expanded pardons for people convicted of simple cannabis possession, attempted simple cannabis possession, or cannabis use on federal lands.
Yeah.
The president also giving clemency to 11 people serving what was called disproportionately long sentences for nonviolent drug offenses. There were a lot of people who spent a lot of time behind bars after the three strikes you're out law. And none of these people who are pardoned were federal prisoners. So these are small-time drug offenses. Yeah.
As many of them are, whether you're talking about mandatory minimums or three strikes, these are individuals who do not deserve to be in prison for as long as they are. It just does not help anything.
Well, and President Biden also said criminal records for marijuana use and possession impose needless barriers to people's employment, housing, and educational opportunities.
Absolutely.
Too many lives upended because of our failed approach to marijuana. It is time that we right these wrongs.
And who knows, maybe that wrong will be righted in Wisconsin this month, as far as a certain king of popcorn has said. We'll see if that happens.
And we will see if that happens.
And I'm going to read every single line of that bill, because I want to see what's in it for them.
Where is the catch?
Where's the catch? Where's the catch? Because there's always a catch.
You seem suspicious.
I am suspicious. I'm very suspicious. I'm not talking like this with my suspicious voice.
The president issued a similar round of pardons in October of 2022. This new order expands the grounds on which those initial pardons were issued. The first round pardoned people for simple possession under one criminal statute. This latest round pardons people under several other criminal statutes, including attempted simple possession. So I think this is a good thing. I know that, you know, again, we've talked to some listeners who are very concerned about even medical marijuana in Wisconsin.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that that's not justified, and certainly concerns about recreational marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
But it's here.
It's here, and the people who are being affected by it are serving, in my opinion, and this is where, you know, we had a discussion earlier, we had last week, about the legalization, the possible legalization. I will say this, the individual who called, I understand, but I disagree. And I think I think it's important to have this, because the more illegal it is, the more people try to get to it. And also, the individuals who are in jail right now or in prison, it's disproportionate.
Way disproportionate. You mean racially?
Racially.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and also just, you're destroying people's lives. And you can't, I'm sorry, I do not agree with you. If a kid is busted with, an eighth in his pocket, he shouldn't be going to jail for 20 years.
That seems extreme.
Yeah. So if it's illegal, it's illegal. Make a law, give him a ticket, make him do some community service. But there are better ways of punishing crimes than just saying, well, we're going to throw you away until you cannot be reformed and you're just become a part of the system forever. I'm very adamant about this issue. And like I said, I understand people have their beliefs and I respect them, but I know people who've gone away for prison for small-time drug dealing and small-time drug use, and it affects them and changes them forever.
Without a doubt. Andrew from Maine texting in, marijuana is here to stay. Much like the political parties, it's high time to learn to work with it.
Pun intended.
Pun intended. Thank you for that, Andrew. While we still have time, Calvin, just one more round of applause for the least productive Congress, our 118th Congress.
You did it, guys.
You did nothing.
You did nothing.
You did nothing better than anybody. We're so...
You know what?
It's so you.
It's only... You know what? What is it? It's almost noon. Let's call it a half day in Washington today.
Celebrate.
You've been in Congress for what, a day? That's just, you take a half first.
Just look at all you haven't done.
I'm buying down at the local donut shop. Everyone gets a zero.
Nice.
Thank you.
Stay close when we return. Psychics.
Oh, God.
On a News Dish Network.
News.
All the details. Stay here. This is Matt Nair on air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remember, I told you. In the war on poverty, yeah, yes, and
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach with you. Calvin is on the board. We're coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Thank you for listening wherever you are across the state. Hello, Wausau. If you're listening on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. We are switching streams just a little bit to talk about something that I just find pretty hilarious. Fox News.
Ish.
Ish. Fox News ish. Keep in mind, please, that this is the company that settled a lawsuit for nearly $1 billion.
Yeah.
A billion with a B.
Buh.
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 Settled a lawsuit for $1 billion after they claimed that Dominion voting machines were corrupt and all of that. And it was like, yeah, ooh, whoops, that was a lie.
Yeah.
Rough bro.
It was some would call it a learning experience.
That's a good way to phrase it.
Yeah.
That was certainly a learning experience. So with everything that we've going on in our country, issues at the border, fentanyl problems, school shootings, of which there was one today in Perry, Iowa. We know at this time that one person is dead. All of these things that we could be talking about, COVID is still here. RSV remains a problem. There's lots of sick going around.
Yeah.
But what did Jesse Waters of Fox News-ish decide to focus on the other day? A psychic.
Oh, God.
He had a psychic on his program to give her predictions for the 2024 election. Calvin, I believe we have a clip of Mr. Waters. Let's go with that.
I've always feared fortune tellers. We could be tempting fate. But at a dinner party, I was given a delightful reading. And when I asked her about Trump, she said, there'd be a grave injustice this fall, and we may not even have an election. Therefore, we needed a second opinion. Paula Roberts is the English psychic who is on set to give us a reading right now. I would like, Paula, for you to give me a reading on President Trump.
Just the one card.
One card.
One card. Let's do just one card.
All right, let's do it.
Yes. What is that?
I do recognize that I'm at Fox TV. I have a sense of loss, but it's very specific. No, let me move on. It's a sense of loss. It's as if he may be thinking more about what he's lost and not still taking full advantage of what he still has.
First of all, I love her. No, no, no. No. I can't get that eye. No, 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 no. It's so English.
She pulled the death card.
Yeah.
And also, she doesn't know Donald Trump. He ain't thinking about anything right now.
Except himself.
Exactly. He ain't thinking about what he has except for maybe what he's having for lunch.
When Jesse asks this English psychic lady what she saw for President Biden this year, she answered lots and lots and lots of money. Setting up Jesse Waters to say, you mean from China?
Good job, Jesse. Oh, you are comedic failure that Fox never really wanted, but they lost so many of their anchors. You failed your way to the top.
Well, and what I find very interesting, again, all of this scrutiny on President Biden and his financial dealings, all of these allegations, which remain as yet unproven.
Mm-hmm.
And then today,
yeah,
a new report comes out from House Democrats. They released it today. A 156-page report called The White House for Sale, offering concrete evidence that the former president engaged in exactly the conduct House Republicans are trying to pin on President Biden. Using documents produced through a court fight, they found out that Donald Trump made almost $8 million from foreign governments when he was in office.
I'm not shocked by that. But it's the thing of almost, what does it matter that we know this? Because one part of the population won't believe it. Also, there's nothing you can really do about it at this point.
But I think it's important to put it out there.
Yeah.
Especially considering, again, according to this report, among the countries patronizing the Trump's properties, China, the biggest payer, $5.5 million, second largest, Saudi Arabia.
Yep. Yeah.
Our good friends.
I'm basically psychic. I saw that one coming.
Nice.
Thank you.
Real quickly, we have Mark from the SAC on the line. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for joining the show. What do you want to say?
Yeah, thanks. And for Jesse Waters to have to conduct a sin in Old Testament terms of consulting somebody who is conversing with a familiar spirit is kind of rich. Technically, reading, in strict biblical terms, he openly consulted with familiar spirits, and
he's consorting with a witch, right? He's consorting with a witch.
With the witch of Endor terms, and that even I know in my limited knowledge, the death card doesn't mean necessarily death; it means change. I mean, from reading, throughout the course of my lifetime, but I mean, it just is. Why isn't the religious right up in arms and all that? Here, Jesse Waters is on using Fox News to use a witch to consult with familiar spirits.
You make an excellent point, Mark, as you usually do.
I mean,
thank you so very much for checking in.
But it's okay. It's just fun. Why did you take it so seriously? Are you getting offended now, Mark and Jane? I mean, that's the funny thing is, whereas like if Joe Biden sat down with, like, a Catholic, they'd be like, he is Catholic.
He is Catholic.
But, like, it's just, that just goes to show, like, they can do whatever they want.
Well, it's one rule for me and different rules for thee.
Oh, I like that.
All right. When we return, the news is coming up next, so stay close for that.
You're being taken off the air right now.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here for our public cervix announcement. If you ever have a question or a comment, she is more than happy to take your calls to 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. She will be with us when we return. Stay here. This is Matt Nair on air. On the Civic Media Radio Network.